Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our health is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord,
and you forgave me the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, for your sinful name.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in his stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And be unto me and have mercy upon me. And forgive all my sins.
because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as we have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
God.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our God is a God of joy. He loves to share his joy and therefore prepares feasts and invites others to rejoice together with him. But where God rejoices with his guests and friends, there are always those who stand at a distance and refuse to join him. This takes place at the beginning of the Holy Gospel today. On the one hand, the tax collectors and sinners draw near to Jesus. They come because there is mercy and forgiveness in him. They come to him because he is able to draw them out of the misery of their sin and to give them new life. On the other hand are the Pharisees and scribes. While the first group rejoices in Jesus, the others grumble and say with contempt, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." In response to this grumbling, Jesus tells three parables, two of which we heard today. The parable of the lost sheep, the lost silver coin, and the lost or prodigal son. They all end with great joy because the lost is found. In these parables, Jesus teaches that the joy of heaven is contrary to the reason of the scribes and Pharisees. There are some aspects of the parables which reveal the difference between the joy of heaven Jesus brings and the joy which the Pharisees seek after. First, the joy of heaven is caused by the lost. The shepherd has 100 sheep, but he has no joy because of this. Likewise, the woman, when she still is in possession of all her 10 silver coins, does not rejoice over them. But after just one of the sheep and one of the coins are lost, both people seem to have forgotten that there are other 99 sheep or 9 coins. The shepherd is so obsessed with the one lost sheep that he leaves 99 other sheep in the wilderness and seeks it until he finds it. Although it would be more reasonable to gather the 99 sheep to a safe place and then to try to find the one lost sheep, even if it would have been too late to rescue it, he would have rescued the 99. The shepherd, however, leaves 99 sheep in the wilderness, where wild beasts are an extreme danger for them. And out of his concern for this lost one, he wanders through the desert until he finds it. Then he puts the sheep on his shoulders and brings it into his house. The joy of the shepherd is not because now he has all 100 sheep. He rather rejoices that this one sheep is found. This is the reason he calls his friends and neighbors together to celebrate with him. I think it is very likely that there would be some friends or neighbors who return to their houses grumbling after they hear the whole story. And in one sense, they would be right. It is foolish to leave the 99 sheep in the wilderness, but to bring only one of them into the house and then to invite so many people to a feast. But such is the joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Second, the joy of heaven is disproportionate to its cause. In both parables, the joy over the found leads to a feast with many guests invited. However, if we take a closer look at the parables, we will find that the joy and its celebration have no relation to the value of what was actually lost before. For example, let us consider the case of the woman and the silver coins. The value of one silver coin is about the pay for one working day of a hired servant. It is just enough to cover the costs for daily bread and other essentials. Now, it is very reasonable for the woman to light a lamp and to sweep the house. The time and energy are worth the silver coin. But after she has found it, she is so full of joy that she calls together friends and neighbors to rejoice with her. This gathering would certainly include a big meal, like we see in the parable of the prodigal son. And so we can be sure that in the end, her feast would cost more than she could have bought with that coin. Such is the joy of heaven. It costs more than the found is worth. We can imagine that some of the friends and neighbors of the woman would grumble over such a foolish rejoicing. But the foolishness of God is wiser than man. The Pharisees and scribes grumbled and were upset by Jesus. They saw that his joy was not about the righteous ones who did not need to repent, but about the miserable sinners. They felt ignored, like the 99 sheep in the wilderness, or the elder brother of the prodigal son. They were disgusted that Jesus would give everything he has to those unworthy tax collectors. And even now, when Jesus comes to his church, he teaches the Pharisees and scribes of our days that the joy of heaven he brings is contrary to their pious reason. First, Jesus shows us that the joy of heaven is caused by sinners. The joy which he brings to us in the celebration of the Holy Sacrament can be tasted only by those who draw near with a true heart and confess their sins. We have to become the tax collector who enters the temple, beats his breast, and says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." We cannot join the church in rejoicing if we, like the Pharisees, trust in ourselves to be righteous. Otherwise, we will not be able to rejoice with all heaven over one sinner who repents. And we will necessarily reject the one who came not to seek the righteous, but sinners. The lost sheep was the only one of the 99 to see the feast. So we also have to find ourselves lost if we want to partake of the feast prepared for us at the altar. Then Jesus will lay us on his shoulders and bring us into his house. Knowing this, we Christians have even joy in confessing our sins. We know that this is what our shepherd rejoices in. He wants to bring us from the wilderness into his house. He wants us to sing like David at the end of Psalm 119, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant." Second, the Holy Gospel teaches us that the heavenly joy of the church goes far beyond the worthiness of any sinner. The Pharisees and scribes do not understand the joy in heaven over one repentant sinner, because they think that the rejoicing of the man and the woman in our parable should be proportionate to what they are rejoicing about. It means that the shepherd's joy should have been that he still had 99 sheep. In the same way, the woman should have been happy about her remaining 9 silver coins. This would have been more appropriate than to spend a whole day searching for one lost coin and then spend much more on the feast. But Jesus wants to teach the Pharisees that the value of the lost must be estimated from the costs of the feast and the effort which is put into finding it. The wisdom of the world teaches us that we sinners are not even worthy of being considered by God. There are always many other people who need Christ's care. Why should he go after one of us? Why should Christ care about my struggle with sin and failure? After all, I am not that important. There are 99 others who need him also. But this wisdom would lead us to reject the gospel of Christ. If we would point Christ to other sinners, we would abandon him. It would mean sending the shepherd back to his 99 sheep and the woman to her 9 silver coins. But this is not Christ's wisdom. He wants us to believe that it is always exactly one which is lost and found, and over which there is joy in heaven. His concern is not the many righteous ones, but the one lost sinner. Let us consider how much God values the lost sinner. He sends his only Son into the darkness of the world as the light. Through his preaching, he sweeps the house of the world until he finds us, buried under the dust of our sinful life. And God pays a lot to justify his joy over just one of us. He casts his own Son out into the wilderness to bear our sin. He sacrifices him as unblemished lamb in order to provide the meal for the feast. With his precious blood, not with gold or silver, he covers all the costs for the feast, which he prepares out of joy that he found the lost coin, his treasured possession. There is great comfort for every sinner in these words of our Lord. For if you have been like a lost sheep, running away and wandering around in the wilderness, in Christ you have a shepherd who goes after you. Let him carry you back in all your anxiety. He does not spare his energy for your sake. He does it with full joy. And if you find yourself as the lost silver coin, lying in darkness and dust, of sin, sadness, loneliness, and fear, see how Christ seeks you with the light of his gospel. With the broom of his word, he will not come to an end until he finds you and puts you on a light place. Blessed are we if we find ourselves as lost sinners, for then the joy of heaven with all the angels of God is also ours. Then we are worthy to taste the great banquet which the Lord has prepared for his guests. In Jesus' name, Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
In our prayers this morning, we especially remember Dorothy Bell, who is recovering from surgery. Let us stand and pray for the church and the world. O Lord, our God, holy and infinite, you cause the light to shine on the darkness, to shine in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Accept now, we humbly pray, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, and mercifully hear our requests. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, remember your whole Christian church on earth, with all its pastors and ministers, all who join with us in prayer, all our brethren and sisters on land and sea, all our fellow creatures throughout the earth, who may be in need of your gracious help. For out upon them and upon us all the riches of your mercy, that our souls and bodies being delivered from the bondage of sin, we may serve you with steadfast faith all our days. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant wisdom and understanding to the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of this state, our judges and magistrates, and all the world who hear. Grant that they may govern in such a way that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Lord, Lord, hear our
mercy. Hear our prayer.
We also remember before you with thanksgiving all those who have loved and served you here, who have gone before us with the sign of faith, and now are at rest in the state of peace. Keep us in fellowship with all your saints, and bring us with them to your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns